Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle, here with Laura Heck. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you might remember that we started out by recording little 20-minute episodes, 20, 30 minutes. We tend to go a little bit longer these days, but not today. Today, it's a quick one. We got a little bit of a late start, but I think we still come up with some cool stuff. Laura tells a story about every parent's nightmare, which is kind of fun to get into. I've been stumbling onto a new tool, which I'm excited to work out and work through. I'll remind you one more time about the workshop that's coming up on February 9th and 10th. It's a really cool opportunity to get some new tools and to just have a refresh or a reset on your relationship. You can learn more about that at marriagetherapyradio.com. As always, we're grateful that you've joined us. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
If you could see the chaos around me, you know how like they say, you know, to have a clear mind, you need just like clarity. I wish you could see just the chaos. Maybe I'll take a picture. I'm in my son's bedroom. I have dogs on beds. Thank you. I have piles of laundry. Mm-hmm. I'm so ready to be out of this rental house and into our real house. And we just learned recently that it's a month later. They were like, yep, oh, no. We're on schedule. We are so excited for you to move in February 1st. And then we went to our meeting on Tuesday and they said, yeah, no, it's probably going to be the end of February. Yeah, we're going to go through February. I was like, so we're tacking on an extra month. Neato.
But you got the Wordle in too.
I did get the Wordle in too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think something's happening because I'm 18 days without putting toxins into my body in the form of alcohol. For dry January. I'm curious how many people do dry January.
Yeah.
It was a really soggy December, so we had to dry it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe my brain is just firing.
And now
a
you're
bit
good
better.
At the Wordle.
Yeah. My family shares their Wordle. They post their Wordle results every day, and so there's like five of us that are on it. And yeah. I only post when I do well.
Right on. Do you know how I play Wordle, right?
I think you've described it, but please remind me. I'm just on the edge of my seat.
I play Wordle golf. So there's five of us. We're all good friends. Yeah. And we play every day for 18 days in a row, like a golf course. Par is four. So we keep track on a golf cart. And so somebody wins after 18 holes. They are the winner. And they, for the next 18 holes, they get to be Tiger Woods.
Cute.
Yeah, it's cute. They're Tiger Woods. And we all have handicaps. And
why do you have a handicap?
Because some of us are better than others. And so we score on a handicap just like you would in golf. I mean, we've been playing for 2 years. So we all have like average scores that we get just like a golfer would. So I have a handicap and my wife has a handicap and our mutual friend has a handicap. And so we play and somebody wins. But then sometimes if we need to like break a tie, we'll use the handicaps.
Do you, what was the
You have to post your score every single day on the text thread.
Yeah.
If you don't get it, you get a seven. Like if you bust. And if you don't report your score, you get an eight.
Woof.
So, yeah. So you have to report your score and you have to do it.
I don't know if I have not gotten the Wordle before. Do you use those? Like my husband will go on. This is kind of interesting. My mom has an entire notebook where she writes down. I'm not really clear as to what she's doing or why she's doing it, but she writes down all of her words. And so it just looks like a notebook of chicken scratch, but it's page after page after page after page of all these different words.
Yeah.
And then my husband goes through and he has a website that he double checks words on, like words that have already been used,
or
he puts
cheating.
In like different. Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
I thought so too, but there is nothing better than looking across. I mean, we've kind of agreed as a family that my husband is smarter than I am. And so when I get the Wordle in less than he does, I'm basically a queen.
And you're Tiger Woods unhappy. For the day. You're like, yeah. I'm the king of the course.
Hey, I want to share this with you, and I want to share this with our listeners, because this was something that happened last night that is a first in the Heck household.
Okay.
Holden walked in on Ryan and I having special time.
Okay.
That was a first. And it happened, and then we had like the fallout of it, and it was at like 10:30 last night, and I just needed to share it on the podcast because... this is the time where I wish that it was a big conversation where our listeners could actually respond back and we could have a conversation, because I wanted to know, like, has this ever happened to you? And then what did you do? What was like the aftermath or the So has that ever
what
happened
was the
to
aftermath?
You? First of all, I'm very proud of myself because I think I might have shared on the last podcast that that's a goal of mine, is to initiate sex more often. And so I initiated, and it's going very well. But my son, unfortunately, is the innocent bystander of all of that. So we threw our clothes on. He walked in and Ryan goes, "Oh," and he kind of like straightened up a little bit, and I sort of turned, and then I saw my son turn on his heels immediately. So he walked into a dark room, turned on his heels, walked back downstairs, didn't say a word. And so we put clothes on and we went downstairs and he's grinning from ear to ear. And there was so many giggles coming from Ryan and I because we were so embarrassed. And we didn't talk about what we were going to say. We just both walked downstairs. And it's interesting because it was way more of like a family discussion than I ever anticipated. And I think, we went downstairs. We said, well, mommy and daddy love each other a lot. And Holden said, "Yeah, I could see that," or something, you know, smart alecky. This is my 8-year-old, and I made some like joke that he has a little brother on the way or something. Just I don't know. And then asked if he had any questions, and we all kind of had some good giggles. And the best part was his response. I said, "How did you know what was going on?" And he goes, "Well, I walked in and I saw you on top of dad. And then I heard," this is the best part, "I heard soft, soothing noises." I died. I laughed so hard. It was like, yeah, your dad was really enjoying himself. That's the sound that you give when you are getting a really lovely back massage, son. Just kidding. No, it was a good moment. He knew exactly what was going on, which is kind of bonkers.
Yeah.
And then he made some kind of a joke. It's funny. Like he rolled with it, but he was like, "This is why I never want to go to bed early, because you guys have all the fun when I'm after I go to bed." Anyway. That was a first, and I need to hear other people's stories to help normalize it for me, because it is deeply embarrassing for me.
Well, I think the opposite is true as well. Like, people need to hear your stories to normalize it for them, because I think the thing that's really cool is really important anyway, is that people begin to and allow themselves to separate sex from shame or embarrassment or like...
Yeah.
Like, there's all these horror stories about kids walking in and like, "Oh, they were scarred for life, you know, and I'll never unsee that," and blah, blah, blah. And I think you guys, sounds like you did a really good job of just like making that just kind of part of the deal. Cause it is just part of the deal. You know, it's not scary or dirty or gross. And, I go back even to what Gabor Mate says, which is this idea that trauma isn't what happens to you. Trauma is what happens inside of you because of what happens to you. And so, you know, you walk in on your parents and you never talk about it, or you never normalize it, or you always feel like you've done something wrong and he didn't have that experience, you know? So I think, you know, kudos to you and Ryan both.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be a double whammy if like we if he had never seen like his parents naked before, mm-hmm. but like mm-hmm. the nudity wasn't a factor. Mm-hmm. And it was also dark. It's just like he walked in where two people were doing things that we normally do in private, and he had a little glimpse into our private life. And so you know, Ryan made a joke and he was like, "Yeah, sorry, buddy." And then he paused and he was like, "No, I'm not sorry. You walked into our room. We were enjoying ourselves. You're the one that like walked in on us." And it was, I mean, it was all just kind of lighthearted. And eventually, the best part, though, I have to say, was I go back upstairs after putting our son back to bed, you know, like rubbing his back. He came upstairs because he wanted to crawl into bed with us. And so I put him back to sleep in his own bed, went back upstairs. This is like 40 minutes later. And my husband's like still listening to the soundtrack on Alexa. Candle is still going.
He still has the jar of coconut oil. Here we go.
And yeah, and he's like, "So, like, are you kidding me? There is going to be no restart to this. My brain is in a totally different space right now. I'm trying to figure out if I just ruined my kid or if he's going to be okay." He's going to be okay. But anyway, that's my funny story.
Yeah, good.
Hey friends, it's Laura. I am about to do something kind of scary. I'm going to open up my Rocket Money app and I'm going to share with you my monthly and annual subscriptions. For the record, many of these subscriptions I actually forgot I didn't even have. Amazon Prime, I've been paying for that for a long time. I have a credit card annual membership. Business Insider, which I have no idea what that is, so I'll be texting my husband. Asking him, Fubo TV. I think this is how we access golf and football. I think GoDaddy, which is my domain for my website, LinkedIn Premium, Netflix, Property Radar. That must be for my husband. Showtime. I don't even watch Showtime. I have no idea why we're paying for this. Spotify. I think that's my husband. The Wall Street Journal. $39 a month. Are you kidding me right now? I have my AT&T subscription. I have all sorts of subscriptions in here. That's actually not so bad. I'm kind of impressed with that, to be perfectly honest. I'm not super embarrassed by it either, but why is this important? So this is an app. It's called Rocket Money. It's a personal finance app, and it finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and it monitors your spending, and it helps to lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it's helped to save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. So if you're like me and you get excited and you are like, "You know what? I'm just going to subscribe and I'm just going to do the 7-day trial." And then all of a sudden it's 2 years later and you've been paying for the subscription that you completely forgot about. This is where Rocket Money comes in handy, because it will share with you all of the subscriptions that you have been spending, and then you can cancel it through the app. You don't have to go through the process of tracking down and trying to talk to somebody live and sending an email. Rocket Money does it for you. So stop wasting money on the things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/MTR. That's rocketmoney.com/MTR. Hey friends, registration is still open for our Winter Weekend Intensive on February 9th and 10th. If you have been feeling that quiet little tug to do something more for your relationship, let this be your permission to pull the trigger and register for the weekend workshop. We'll be meeting virtually on Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and again on Saturday from 8 to 3 p.m. This is 9 hours of time that you'll be spending in the comfort of your own home, practicing new relationship tools with your partner. We'll teach you how to reconnect emotionally, communicate gently, and navigate conflict effectively. This weekend workshop follows the science of Dr. John Gottman's 7 principles for making marriage work. Meet with Zach and myself for an unforgettable weekend. Register today for only $450 per couple on our website, marriagetherapyradio.com.
You know, it reminds me of, we're a little bit of an abbreviated schedule today just because we have got a late start, but it reminds me of something that I did want to sort of talk about and maybe go into a little bit more, but I started doing something in my office the other day that I think your story kind of tracks with, which is we did an episode a long time ago about quadrants, where you have this horizontal axis and this vertical axis, and then you have these four options. And I was getting into the same conversation over and over again with this one couple. And they were talking about things that they wanted to happen. Like she wanted to go on a business trip in Las Vegas, and he didn't want her to go on a business trip in Las Vegas. And then there was a couple of other examples, but if we just stick with the Las Vegas one, what I was thinking about is, like, I tried to tell them, I said, you know, on this horizontal axis, you go on the trip, you don't go on the trip. Those are the two options that you have.
Okay.
And the vertical axis you have, it's good for the marriage, it's bad for the marriage. So below the line, you have, you went on the trip and it was bad for the marriage. You didn't go on the trip and it was bad for the marriage. Above the line, you have, you went on the trip and it was good for the marriage. You didn't go on the trip and it was good for the marriage. And I was like, what if you made four separate columns? Like, because the trip's in, I don't know, it's in like in October or something. What if you made four columns and you said, here's what would have to happen for us to go on the trip and be good for the marriage. Here's what would have to happen for me to go on the trip and it'd be bad for the marriage. Here's what would have to happen for me to not go on the trip and be good for the marriage. Here's what would have to happen for me to not go on the trip and it for me to be bad to the marriage. And bad for the marriage would be things like, you know, he says, I don't want you to go on the trip. And she says, fine, I won't go on the trip. So she doesn't go on the trip, but she's bitter and resentful and angry about it. And she still feels controlled, you know?
All right.
Good for the marriage would be she goes on the trip, but they have really thoughtful talk about the boundaries and she holds the boundaries. And that it's a new kind of experience vis-a-vis other travel experiences that they've had before. But I think that it's never the thing, right? The thing isn't my kid walked in on me or my kid didn't walk in on me. The thing is my kid walked in on me and it was good for the family.
Right.
Or my kid walked in on me and it was bad for the family. Or my kid walked in on me and it was, or didn't walk in on me and it was good to the family. Or didn't walk in on me and it was bad for the family. Didn't walk in on me and it was bad for the family is sex is shameful, private, dirty, gross, not for kids to learn about. You know, all of those things are not going to be a win overall. But the point I'm making is,
it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the trauma is. It doesn't matter what the context is. It's the meaning that you make of it or what you do with it that makes it good or bad.
Yeah. I mean, and people get into these things all the time where they feel like they're faced with these sort of binary things. I want this to happen and you want that to happen. Or I feel strongly about this and you feel strongly about that. And what they're missing, I think, is the above the line, below the line conversation or investigation. And I'd never really thought about having somebody like write down, I mean, these guys have what, 9 months to figure out whether or not this trip is going to happen. Like, but I think they could reasonably articulate what would go in all four boxes, you know?
Yeah, I agree. You could do that work on your whiteboard.
And it's not whether or not she takes the trip.
Yeah. It's what you do with it, how she conceptualizes. Yeah. That's an interesting one. I'm trying to think of all these different situations and scenarios where couples could use that as a way to be able to identify, like, what are we going to do with this? Because there's a lot of choices that we make that you could be really thoughtful in choosing. How is this going to impact us, or how are we going to use this moment in time, this decision, whatever it might be, for the relationship, for it to be positive for the relationship or negative for the relationship?
Yeah. And I think it's about zooming back far enough to realize that there's two things at play. There's not simply like, I mean, and we're saying this again and again, but it's not simply the issue. It's how are we going to navigate this issue in a way that's good for us? And you have to back up and consider all the different alternatives. And I want to say, like, these guys don't know that I'm talking about them or whatever else, but I will say that he in particular started to really grasp this idea. That he understood that he was holding on very tightly to some specific things that he thought were in the realm of like right and wrong or good and bad or behavior oriented. And he had a little bit of an aha moment when he started to realize like, oh, I could get what I want here, meaning she doesn't go on the trip, and it'd actually be terrible. It could actually be the worst thing I do for her.
He doesn't want her to go on the trip. Is that the idea?
He doesn't want her to go on the trip right now. He's nervous about it. He doesn't really like Las Vegas. There's some bad precedent there. And so, you know, he's like, I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go. You can't go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. You realize that right now, if she says, I'm not going, it's going to be because you made her.
Right.
And that's not going to, and he was started. And then again, this is where he started to have this aha moment of,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't want that. I still don't want her to go. And I go, okay, well, again, she doesn't go and it's good for the marriage.
Yeah.
But that's a different quadrant, you know?
Right. Right.
So anyway, I was in the middle of giving him kudos for kind of understanding that and wrapping his head around it. It's why I wanted to talk about it here, because I think if other people can do that, it becomes a whole nother way of like kind of evaluating your kind of your decision-making posture.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a little bit of a hard segue because it just, for whatever reason, this just reminded me of a conversation that I had today with my husband. And I love that he is running these things by me and that he's open to hearing my opinion. Sometimes I feel like in his line of work, I'm able to add value. But he said, what if I was to walk up to your door, knock on your door and say, hello, you don't know me, but I understand your house is in foreclosure and I'd like to help you. He said, would you be interested in hearing what I have to say, my proposition? And I said, 100%, I would not be interested in hearing what you have to say. And he said, why is that? And I said, because you haven't heard me first. You're just offering me a solution without first asking me what's going on or understanding the situation. And as that came out of my mouth, I thought, this is exactly what I do in therapy, is helping people say, too often, there is absolutely zero space in my heart to hear your thoughts, your opinions, your expertise, and your solutions, because you have not yet taken the time to understand my pain, my frustration, my issue. And so all I had said to him was, what if you walked up, knocked on the door and said, hi, I understand your house is in foreclosure. I think I have a solution, but I really need to understand what's going on for you. Would you mind just sort of explaining to me in your own words what you understand is going on? And I'll see if maybe there's some way that I might be able to help you. And I think that's sales 101, but I'm also not a salesperson. My husband is. But it was really interesting how our two worlds collided just in this moment where so much of our work in sales and in therapy are very similar of seeking to understand first.
Yeah.
I don't know why that just reminded me as you were talking, but yeah.
I don't know. I think I remain in this tension. It's one I'm probably going to spend the I don't want to say the year, but I'm definitely thinking about it a lot, which is the difference between kind of what we're talking about and how we're talking about it. In your example, like we're talking about trying to sell a house, but how we're talking about it is either you-centric or salesperson-centric, you know, like, and I think, again, you can sort of talk about tools all day long and you need to make sure that the soil is fertile enough that the tools matter. You know, you can't just like throw your shovel and your pick at the soil if it's no good. I mean, I guess you could, but you kind of have to have both. So I'm keen on that right now. And I like, whether it's quadrant thinking or you first thinking or whatever it is, I think you can get to the solution faster, maybe even by going slower.
Okay. So you just mentioned like fertile soil. So what would you recommend would be able to fertilize soil? Like what would be able to, I said fertilized. Are you thinking about my story earlier?
I think I was thinking about, I think two things. One, without question, people need to do their individual work. Like you have to do your individual readiness work to show up in a way that can participate in some of this relational tool stuff. Number two, I don't mind saying you have to actually understand what the tools are. You have to learn them. I'll make one more pitch for our workshop, which is in just, I think it's like just a couple of weeks after this episode comes out, but it's a really, really great kind of Gottman 101. We're going to learn the tools, have a little fun, set the foundation. I think once you have those, you become much more sort of ready to know kind of what to do. Even though maybe you still have to do the work on kind of how am I going to show up and do this work? But yeah, if you're on the fence, if you're thinking about it, if you're thinking about a refresh in 2024, if you're thinking about trying to kind of do something new with your relationship, and it really is a good kind of overview and entry into, let's just do some good, simple tool work. But again, I don't think that That's the solution. The solution, I think, is tilling the fertile soil of yourself, of your person, in order to, be ready to let some of these tools be effective.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense. There's a lot of times when I talk to couples and I'm like, you know what? It doesn't matter what we do today in therapy. It doesn't matter the guidance that I give you or the framework that I construct. If you are not in a space where you feel safe, and maybe you're not in a space, maybe you're like super jacked up and nervous, and you just are not even at the capacity, and that's a self thing. And so sometimes it's like, we can't even do therapy. We just work on self-soothing to get you to a place where then you can utilize the right tools at the right time.
You got to learn how to make some soft soothing noises in therapy to do.
It was a great back massage. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I love that you mentioned the the workshop. Again, that's on February 9th and 10th. It's a Friday evening from 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and then Saturday from 8 until 3 Pacific Standard Time. I love those time frames because it works very well for folks, especially in the United States, whether you're on the East Coast or you're in Pacific Standard Time. And also doesn't take up the entire weekend, but you still get 9 hours of time with Zach and myself. And, I had mentioned, I added it up where I was like, this is like over a $2,000 value of therapy if you were to do therapy with us. And the price is $450, which is not bad at all. I think it's a great deal. But you do want to register because we need to get the resources to you and all of the workbooks and good stuff. Okay, let's land this plane because you have a client in T-minus 2 minutes.
That's right.
And we'll pick this up again.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. You can register for our intensive weekend workshop coming up on February 9th and 10th by going to our website, marriagetherapyradio.com. Registration is $450 per couple, and that includes all of your workshop materials. You'll want to register early so that we can get everything to you in time. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.